piece to preach on. We were singing Amazing Grace. Now, y'all bear with me. I'm going to try and get through it all without crying, because I've never gotten over the grace of God.
Amen. Amen.
I don't remember exactly how old I was. My children are in here. Your children are in here. What I'm about to tell you is factual in my life and what I did when I was a teenager. And I remember one night in particular, I had left a party, a get-together of teenagers, and I was so drunk that I didn't know where I was or what I was doing. Driving down the road. And I remember I was coming around a curve. If you're familiar with Liberty Road, I was coming around a curve just before Crawfish Creek. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And something woke me up before I drove off into that creek. Now, you say what you want to, but I believe it was God's amazing grace.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Lord.
And I've never gotten over that God would take a worthless, drunk teenager that was rebellious against his parents and against his family and against his home and do everything that I could opposite of what Daddy preached and Mama taught. And then put him in a pulpit and let him preach to people every Sunday.
Bless him, Lord.
Don't you ever forget just how amazing the grace of God really is. I'm glad that he can take a worthless drunk, amen, that is in the worthless, dark places of life, and put him in a place where he can use him. I had a little old preacher. Thank God for my pastor. Even though that night had happened, that didn't mean I straightened up. And my little old preacher would see me come into church hungover. Y'all right? I know what it feels like sitting through a church service hungover. Maybe that's you this morning. I know what it feels like to go in there with all the shame and reproach in your life that the devil can muster to put in there. I know what it feels like to have the courage to walk through the doors, knowing that your life don't line up with what's being taught in that building. And some little old saint of God walk up to you in love and say, I sure am glad you're here. And if that is you this morning, you've been out in the world and you got so much shame in your heart and in your life that you don't know whether or not God even loves you, I want you to know, like old Daniel said, there is a God in heaven. And this God in heaven loves you with a love that is so immensely strong that he'll wake you up in the middle of your drunken stupor. Amen. He will carry you from the bottom pits of despair in your life and bring you to the church house and let you see that he loves you. He will take you from meanness and turn you into kindness. He'll take you from ugliness and give you beauty where ashes, where your lives have been burned down. Amen. He'll take your broken heart and mend it, all those broken pieces, and put them back together one by one, little by little. It might take a little while, but he'll do it. He'll take you from addiction to help. You all right? I'm glad that I serve a God that has amazing grace. I don't stand here in this pulpit and preach to you as a perfect human being. I preach to you as a redeemed child of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in His infinite mercy and infinite love and wondrous wisdom, looked down through the corridors of time, and He saw me in my drunken stupor. He saw me in my rebellion. He saw me in my ungodliness. He saw me in my hatred. He saw me in my difficulty, and said, I know what I'm going to do with him. I'm going to put him in a pulpit. Maybe you're here this morning. You think God can't use me. I've done too much. I've went too far. I've done too much wrong. I assure you, there is not a pit of despair that you can be in that the grace of God doesn't have the power to reach down into and pull you up out of. Amen. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. I was seeking to rise no more, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. I'm glad to report to you this morning that love lifted me up out of that horrible pit. And he'll lift you up too. Thank God for a church that loves people. You take a good look around you and you'll see people that's got all kinds of trouble and difficulties and differences in their life. You look around, you'll see everybody in this church, and you might look at Brother Josh and say, oh, he's got a good looking tie on. He's got a good looking coat on. He's got all his ducks in a row. Man, I ain't got no ducks in a row. I don't even know if these ducks are mine. Amen. I just know that I'm serving the Lord. I just know that God took somebody that was worthless and ungodly and unholy and is worthless, worldly as could be, and said, I'm going to use him as a pastor to pastor people that are ungodly and of holy and unworldly as can be, so that he can love them where they're at. My goodness, thank God for a Savior who lifts us out of sin. See, when you get saved, the Lord don't leave you in your sin. Amen. You might have an old adulterous heart that runs off into sin and says, I think I'll just go dabble in it a little while longer. Amen. We've all done it. We all like to dabble in it and say, we all got that pet sin, don't we? That we want to take that little, it's like a little old cat that sits on her lap, and that's what we do. We take that and we just kind of stroke that little old pet sin. Amen. And when somebody comes around that we think might get it in trouble, we take that old pet sin and we hide it real good, don't we? And we tuck it down behind a tie and behind a nice button-down shirt. Amen. And we tuck it behind a suit coat and some nice shoes and some nice slack breeches, and we say, well, ain't nobody ever going to catch me. Hey, friend of mine, I want you to know there is a God in heaven, and he loves you too much to leave you in the condition of sin that you're in. He understands the destruction that you're causing in your own body, in your own heart, and in your own mind, and he loves you enough to do some surgery and remove that pet sin out of your life. And hey, you know what you can do with that pet sin? You can take that pet sin. I thank God for a water bottle. Amen. You can take that pet sin and you can lay it down here at the altar and you can leave that sin on the altar. Did you hear what I said? You can leave that sin on the altar and you can walk away in freedom that only Christ can give. Thank God for the testimony. I know you take notes, brother, but this one's just all about what my experiences are, how that the love of God in his amazing grace has brought me out of where I once was. And the greatest message that I can ever tell you is that Jesus loves you enough, just like he did me, to deliver you out of what it is that you're dealing with. Preacher, you might think, well, preacher, I deal with lust. Well, I've dealt with that too, amen? And thank God the Lord can bring you out of it. All right. Hey, preacher, I've been lying to people. That's all right. And the Lord knows how to take a lying tongue and turn it into an honest tongue. Amen. He sure does. He'll take your lying and turn it into honesty. Amen. And if you keep on lying, he's liable to expose your lie. Amen. You all right? Because he loves you just enough to expose you in your sin and not leave you in your sin. to where you're just floundering out there. The Lord God Almighty knows you better than you know yourself, and He's willing to help you get from where you are to where you need to be. You don't have to live a life under the guilt and the shame and the heartache that sin brings with it. You don't. Christian brothers and sisters, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to live in shame. Thank God. You can take that water of life and drink of it freely. Amen? This ain't sin no more. We're going to let it be water, what it is. Amen? I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And when I say that, I don't mean it in the way of meeting somebody on the street and just telling them Jesus loves you because you ain't got nothing better to say. I mean in your despicable life, you take the worst adjective you can figure to describe yourself, and Jesus loves you in that. You take your most heinous acts that you've committed, and Jesus loved you while you was doing it. Amen? In that while we were yet sinners, God commendeth His love toward us. That word commendeth means to give over. He gives His love while you're yet a sinner, while you're in the midst of your sin, while you're in your drunken stupor, while you're in the middle of adultery, while you're in the middle of all kind of gross ungodliness, while you're in the middle of the lie and you get caught in the middle of the lie. I thank God that I don't pastor a perfect church. Amen? Y'all all right? I know exactly who I'm preaching to because y'all just like me.
That's right.
You get caught in the midst of that ungodliness. You get caught in the midst of the unholy actions. And you got all of that strain and all of that stress that guilt brings on you. And so you stop witnessing. You stop telling people about the Lord. You stop caring about other people. You get totally consumed within yourself. And friend of mine, that's no way to live. The best way to live is under the Lord Jesus Christ, serving Him in freedom.
Amen.
And I want you to know that there's freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom the Son sets free, He is free indeed. You can be free this morning. You don't have to continue in whatever it is that you're dealing with. You can be free in Jesus Christ. He can set you free. I know for a fact there's other people. I ain't the only one in here that struggled with alcohol. Amen? Amen. I'm glad some of you getting honest this morning. Here we go. I'm glad to admit that I ain't the only one in here that has dealt with different problems of life and different struggles in life. I'm glad that we've got a God that looks down on us and says, I love you anyway, and I care about you anyway. I see what you've done. I see what you've committed, and I still love you in the way that you are right now, and I want you to be so much more than what you are right now. There's so much. I told the kids this the last day of summer day camp. I said, I look around this room. I don't see 8 through 12 year olds. I see potential. I see young lives that could change the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. I look around this room and you might just see the neighbor down the street, or you might just see brother so-and-so from years ago and an old friend, but I see the potential that God has the power to use. God has the ability to use. God has the know-how to take your life from something that you view as unusable and make you pliable. And you, that old preacher preached last week about the prodigal son. Have y'all ever thought about this? That old boy went out a prodigal, but he came back pliable. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. He went out ungodly and he came back to the Father's house. He went out in a riotous living and came back to a righteous man. Thank God there's a place to come back to. What do you need? What do you need? Why you let the shame grip your heart? Maybe you're not ashamed. Maybe you ain't been humbled that way yet. Maybe you still got that attitude of, well, I can do what I want to. You continue on. And when you've gone too far, Gateway Baptist Church is going to be here. And if it ain't me, there's going to be another pastor here that's going to love people in the way that they are. Amen, Gateway? She's just shouting it out with me. She's been listening to me for 9 months before she was born.
Amen? Amen, the Bible says that babes and sucklings know. Thank God he's using a baby to shout it out. If we keep our peace, he'll make the rocks out here cry out with praise. That's what he said in the book of Luke. What is it that you're dealing with? What kind of shame do you have? What way can God use you? He took me from a drunken, worthless, no good punk, because that's what it was. I'd be unrecognizable to most of you if I walked in here as a 16-year-old kid, when I was 16. Here we go. Can we tell them? I'm going to tell y'all what Miss Tara fell in love with. A pimple-faced punk with earrings in both of his ears, tongue ring. I even got this thing pierced one time. Stupidest thing I ever done. And Miss Tara looked at that and said, Now, which one of y'all think got the better deal on this end? Amen. God took that old ugly rascal. These people in here remember that. They remember me looking like that. They remember the shame that I had in my life. But thank God, the grace of God met me one day. And through a wonderful place called sanctification, the Lord brought me up out of that. Amen. I don't preach against earrings or anything like that, but I will tell you this. Friend of mine, I ain't talking about you ladies. I know it's beautify, but guys, every time there's a slave in the Bible, they're noted as being a slave by having an awl through their ear. Y'all right? You won't hear me bash you for earrings, will you? I love you. I ain't preaching against that. I'm just letting you know that might be an indication that you're a slave to something that you don't realize. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen? Good, see, whatever's in here appears outside most of the time. And whatever is in our heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the words that proceed out of our mouth show us what's inside here. And if your heart is full of rebellion, then the words you speak out will be rebellion as well. Amen. Y'all okay? I want you to know that there is a place to bring you shame. There's a place to bring you heartache. Doesn't matter if you're young. Doesn't matter if you're old. Doesn't matter what age group you fall in the category of. The Lord wants to use you. Still today, if you've got breath in your lungs, the Lord has a purpose for you. It might be so that you think, Brother David, you might be sitting here thinking, well, I don't know what I can do. How old are you?
85.
85 years old. You might be thinking, I don't know what I can do, but I do know this. I know this man prays for me. And there's many of you, other ones in here, you pray for them and you think, preacher, I can't do nothing. There's nothing that God can use me for. I'm old. I'm past the prime of my life. Why don't you get out the prayer list here at Gateway Baptist Church? How about we need some prayer warriors that will call out some people to God? Amen? Well, preacher, I can't speak very loud. Well, you better be careful saying that, because he's liable to put you in ministry and put an Aaron along beside you that preaches just fine, amen, while you carry the weight of everything that's going on. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and think, well, I just don't want to do anything for the Lord. There'll come a time and there'll come a day when you realize that you've wasted some precious time, when you could have been serving the Lord. You've wasted some precious time that you could have given over to the Lord. And while the world makes all of the outside things look wonderful, there is a reason that beer and alcohol commercials use attractive, scantily clad people to sell their product. I would to God that they would take the guy who is slumped over a toilet with vomit running down his shirt and tell you, drink you a beer now. I wish that they would take the little mama that had the soup beat out of her by a mean husband that got drunk the night before and tell you to grab you a bottle of your favorite thing. Why don't they advertise it that way? Why don't they show you the real price that'll be paid for what you do? There is a reason why that you only see the good side of all of the sinful things of the world. And that is because it would not sell. You okay? How about they go and they show you the car accident where the teenager ran off the road and didn't come home? How about years ago, I remember standing in the funeral home and this young lady had driven off. If you go down Post Road, you'll eventually cross Dog River, and they used to have a lower bridge where it dipped down. There was a young lady was driving down Post Road one night, lost control of her car, went off the road, went over and landed upside down in the river, and it took them several days to find her because nobody knew that she was down there. Why don't they show that part of the party life? Amen? You may think that you've got everything under control, but I promise you, you don't have near as much under control as what you think you do. I'm not sure what the Lord wants to do at Gateway today, but I believe that I'm right in the center of God's will. I look around and I see our young folks, and we talk about they're the future of the church. No, they're the church right now. They're our church. And if one of them has the guilt and the shame that the world has given to them, I sure hope that our church would love on our church. Amen. What do you need today from the Lord? I want to get us a song of invitation. I just, one of you, I don't care which one of you, come to the piano. Go ahead and sing, Miss Eva, or whatever you need to do. Whomever you need. You need Miss Angie? Amen, yes. I know you hear me say this every Sunday, but I mean it. These altars are open. What that means is you can bring your weight and sin and shame, and you can lay it at the feet of Jesus. And you can say, Lord, I've carried this so long. I've bore this burden so long. I have dealt with this so long. I don't want to bear with it no more. I don't want to carry this anymore. I don't want this heartache anymore. I don't want this heartbreak anymore. I need you, Lord. You can bring it to Him. And He'll make sure that everything is well with you. Miss Eva's going to sing here in just a minute. You'll decide what you'll do with this message this morning. Thank you, church, for listening. Thank you for allowing me to testify. Let the Lord help you.